From here, I can see very clearly the audience expression. So the moment I do not tell story, many people start to nod their head. It makes me very difficult to continue. Okay, now we continue another six beautiful factors. Three are abstinences: right speech, right action, right livelihood. And the two are illimitables or limitless or boundless: compassion and appreciative joy. And the last one is non-delusion, equal to wisdom faculty. What are the three abstinences? Right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Right speech: abstaining from verbal misconduct, like telling lies, slandering, harsh speech, and frivolous talk. For example, when you have the opportunity to tell lies at that moment, you abstain from doing it. It's called right speech. Not only talk rightly, but you abstain from doing it, from telling lies. It's called right speech. Not because you have keep morality, but because of that. By keeping morality, you do not tell lies. That is called, the one is called precept, keeping precept. We cannot say abstinence. Abstinence means that you have the opportunity to do, even though you are not keeping five precepts, but you abstain from it. Right action: abstaining from bodily misconduct, like killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. For example, a mosquito biting you. So you have opportunity to kill this mosquito, but you abstain from it. You don't want to kill. It's called right action. And right livelihood: abstaining from wrong livelihood, selling poisons, intoxicants, weapons, slaves, or animals for slaughter. The characteristic is non-transgression. The function is to draw back from doing all these evil things. The manifestation is not doing all these things. The proximate cause: because you have faith in the teaching of the Buddha, and because you have shame and you have fear of wrongdoing. And these three must arise separately, cannot arise together in the same sphere consciousness. Because when you have chance to kill, you do not kill. At that moment, can right speech arise in you or not? Which one arise in you? Right action. So it only can arise separately when the occasion arises. So when you have chance to tell lies but you abstain from it, at that time right speech will arise in you. Right action and right livelihood will not arise. Okay. The next one, limitless or boundless. Why they are called boundless? Compassion and appreciative joy. Why these two are called boundless? Because the object, they take what object? They take beings as object, and that beings are boundless, no limit. You have to radiate your compassion and appreciative joy to boundless beings. That's why they are called boundless, limitless. Compassion. The characteristic of compassion is the wish to remove or to alleviate the suffering of others. When you see somebody sick, you want to help him to alleviate his pain. This is called compassion. The function is unable to bear one's feeling when see others suffering. So when you see a person afflicted by cancer, for example, you are unable to bear your feeling when you see this person is affected by cancer. So you render help. Maybe you bring him to see doctor, or you buy organic food for him. This is a sign of compassion. But if you fail to help him, then you should not fall into sorrow. If you fall into sorrow, then sorrow is under the root of hatred. So if you help him but you fail to help him, you render your help but you fail to kill him, then you must have the attitude of equanimity. And this is called compassion. If you fall into sorrow, then the time from the good state, from the compassion state, you developed unwholesomeness. So it's very important, huh? Compassion, you help somebody, and if that body cannot be helped, then you must develop equanimity. And there are two types of compassion. We see somebody afflicted by sickness, then we want to help. This ordinary compassion. But for the Bodhisattva's compassion, for the Buddha's compassion is Mahakaruna, great compassion. In the four Asankhaya and 100,000 kappas ago, this Bodhisattva is called Sumedha, hermit. He possessed five psychic powers, and his parami is so matured. If he has chance to listen to even one stanza of teaching, the teaching of the Buddha, he will become arahant. So his parami is very matured. So one day, when he heard the Buddha Dipankara is coming to one village, so he was very happy. So he also offered his service. They are building a bridge. So he also offers his service to build the bridge. Before the bridge finished, Buddha Dipankara came. So he quickly put his body down on the mat, offered his body as a bridge for Buddha to step on. So at that time, if Buddha taught him one stanza of Dhamma, he will become arahant. But he reflected. After seeing the Buddha, he was inspired. He also wanted to become Buddha. So he let go. He let go his opportunity to become arahant. And he made a wish to become Buddha. And he said, then he very boldly proclaimed or declared, Buddho Bodhiyang, Mutto Mocheyang, and Tino Tariyang. He said that when I am able to penetrate this Four Noble Truths, I will help all beings to penetrate this Four Noble Truths. And if I am able to attain liberation, I will help all beings to attain liberation. And if I am able to swim across the great whirlpool of samsara, I will help all beings to swim across this great whirlpool of samsara. So he abandoned his chance to attain arahant and inspired to become a Buddha. This is done because of his great compassion for all beings. So we cannot say we have great compassion. Only Bodhisattva has this great compassion. We help other people only in one's life. For somebody, this person is sick, I render my help. I only help him in one's life. But the Bodhisattva's wish is to help all beings to get out of the realm of rebirth forever. That's called great compassion. And after he inspired to become Buddha, and his path is full of difficulty. He has to practice 10 paramis, especially his patient parami. People cut his limb, take out his eyes, cut his heart, and yet he has no hatred, because his aim is just to help people. No matter how people hurt him, he will not care. So this is the compassion, a great compassion of Bodhisattva. The next, appreciative joy. Now the characteristic of appreciative joy is rejoicing or delighting in others' success. Function is being unenvious. Manifestation, elimination of aversion. Proximate cause, seeing beings' success. Actually, this appreciative joy is very easy to do. When you see people's success, you just call sadhu, that's all. Call sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Enough, then your mind is full of wholesomeness. It seems at Apparently, it's very easy to do. But because our mind is sometimes overwhelmed by defilement, like jealousy, so it's so difficult to cause sadhu when see other people do something good. So appreciative joy is one of the four pragma vihara. And these two, karuna, compassion and appreciative joy, have to develop to all beings, boundless beings, including your own animal. Including your own enemy. And this to develop this appreciative joy, you have to wish all beings' property be increased and not to lost. May this being's property be increased, not to lost, again and again, until you attain first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, not fifth jhana. Then for one being, you increase two beings, three beings, until the whole universe. That's why it's called limitless, boundless. The last one, wisdom faculty, amoha. The characteristic of wisdom faculty is penetrating into things as they really are, like penetration of an arrow shot by a skillful archer. The function is giving the light of wisdom, so that the object appear in the mind clearly or illuminate the object like a lamp. This one meditator told me while I was in Canada, there was a meditator, she told me that when she tried to concentrate, when she tried to discern these particles in the body, when she tried to discern these particles in the body and tried to penetrate each particle's contain eight elements, she said she cannot see very clearly the eight elements. But when she went back to samatha meditation, concentration practice, to increase her light of wisdom. So when her light became very bright at the time, she went back to discern these particles in the body and penetrate into each particle, there are eight elements. With the help of this light, she told me she can see very clearly these eight elements, one by one. So this statement made by her is matched with this function of wisdom faculty. You see the function of wisdom faculty? Giving the light of wisdom so that the object appear in the mind clearly. Or illuminate the object like a lamp. That's why Buddha said, the proximate cause of concentration, the proximate cause of wisdom is concentration. And one who is concentrated knows and sees correctly. This is good to develop concentration first. That concentration gives you light of wisdom so that you can see object very clearly. Just like when you enter into a dark room. Can you see the object in the dark room? Cannot. But if you enter into the dark room with a torchlight, can you see that? That torchlight is light of wisdom. And this wisdom faculty has the characteristic of removes ignorance. It removes moha delusion, which covers the four noble truths. We cannot penetrate into four noble truths. Why? Because delusion covers it. But when we develop wisdom faculty, this wisdom faculty can remove this ignorance, which cover the four noble truths. So when the ignorance is removed, four noble truths is penetrated. Just like a moon was covered by a cloud. So when a moon, when a cloud is removed, the moon will appear. So when lightness is when lightness arises, the darkness will go away. So when the wisdom faculty arises, delusion is removed. Then the four noble truths will appear clearly in the mind. Okay, we have finished all 52 mental factors. Among all these 52, 11 are called unfixed agents. What are the 11? Envy, stinginess, worry, these three. They arise separately and occasionally. And they are called unfixed agents because they may or may not arise in those types of consciousness to which they are allied. For example, envy, stinginess, worry are rooted in what? Rooted in greed or hatred? Hatred. So when the consciousness rooted in hatred arise, it may not associated with envy, may not associated with stinginess, or may not associated with worry. That's why it's called unfixed agents. Envy only will arise regard to other people's success. And stinginess only will arise regard to one's own success. So it only arises occasionally. When the condition for it to arise, then it will arise. But when it arises, it must be rooted in, consciousness rooted in hatred. The three abstinences also, it arises separately and occasionally. When you have chance to kill, you abstain it. At a time, only right action will arise. And limitless also. Compassion takes what object? If you want to practice compassion meditation, what object should you take? What type of beings? Suffering beings. You cannot take joy beings to develop compassion. So you must take suffering beings that can arouse your compassion. So at the time when the compassion arises in you, appreciative joy cannot arise. Because appreciative joy takes joyful beings or successful beings. That's why it's called they arise separately. Separately and occasionally. Only when they're suffering beings that you can develop compassion. This is occasionally only. Conceit also arise occasionally and slow and proper. So this 11 are called unfixed agents. Okay. Now, suppose, I think every day you may have performed some good deeds. Maybe dana, or you keep 5 precepts every day, sila, or sometimes you meditate every day. Or now you're listening to my talk. At this moment, now you're listening to my talk. There are 34 mental formations arise in your mind continuously. If your mind is not restless, or if you are not noting your head. If you note your head, this 34 mental formation will change to unwholesome consciousness. Suppose you are concentrating on what I said. So this 34 mental formation will arise in your mental stream. What are the 34? Okay. One, consciousness, contact, feeling, perception, volition, one-pointedness, life faculty, attention, initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, decision, energy, joy or rapture, desire, faith, mindfulness, shame, fear of wrongdoing, non-greed, non-hatred, neutrality of mind, tranquility of mental body, tranquility of consciousness, lightness of mental body, lightness of consciousness, malleability of mental body, malleability of consciousness, wildiness of mental body, wildiness of consciousness, proficiency of mental body, proficiency of consciousness, rectitude of mental body, rectitude of consciousness, and wisdom faculty. One wisdom faculty. So they are all 34. Suppose you listen to my Dharma talk with equanimity, not with joy. So the joy will be excluded. Then there will be 33. When you perform anything good, it's better to do with joy or with equanimity? Joy. So you should try to listen with joy. With smiling face, not with nodding head. And if you listen to my Dharma talk without understanding of karma, they say. You do not understand listening to Dhamma talk. It's a wholesome deed. You do understand this. So you listen to my Dhamma talk, dissociated with knowledge. So at this moment, which one will be excluded? Among these 34, which one will be excluded? Which mental factor will be excluded? Wisdom. Wisdom will be excluded. So you listen to my talk without wisdom. Okay, if you exclude joy and wisdom, then there will be only 32. Okay. And this 34, or either 32, 33, or 34, depend on the situations, happen at Jhavana stage. They only happen at Jhavana stage. And as I say, Jhavana stage run for 7 times. And after that, another mind door cognitive process. Again and again. In a snap of finger, billions of consciousness arise and pass away. So you have been listening to my talk for so many hours. If you are not restless, okay? If you are not sleepy, then you have accumulated a lot of wholesome karma. Congratulations. Okay. Now suppose you practice mindfulness of breathing and you attain jhana. Mindfulness of breathing and you attain jhana. At that moment, there are also same 34 mental formations arise in the mental stream. One consciousness plus 33 mental factors. How these mental factors perform their functions to help consciousness? I will explain to you. So number one is consciousness. Consciousness, what is the characteristic of consciousness? Aware of an object. Awareness, the pure awareness of an object. So when you are entering, for example, anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing. So when you are entering into first jhana, what object do you take? Not breath. Patibhaganimitta. Patibhaganimitta. Counterpart sign, very transparent, very brilliant here. So the mind absorbs into patibhaganimitta. So the consciousness, this the first one, consciousness take or aware of that patibhaganimitta. Okay. And then the contact, the second contact, the contact causes the first jhana consciousness together with associated mental factors and patibhaganimitta to impinge. This is the function of contact. And the feeling experiences the bliss of patibhaganimitta. And the perception makes a sign, this is patibhaganimitta. Or perceive the salient quality of patibhaganimitta. And the volition urges the consciousness and associated mental factors in acting upon patibhaganimitta, and it itself accumulate good karma. And one-pointedness fixes the consciousness and associated mental factors into patibhaganimitta. And this one-pointedness, because it's developed, now this one-pointedness become concentration. When it develops, it becomes very strong concentration. The life faculty is sustain the vitality of the consciousness and associated mental factors. And the most attention directs the consciousness and associated mental factors towards patibhaganimitta. These seven are called seven universes. It must arise with all types of consciousness, whether it's good or bad. The next one, six occasionals. Initial application of mind. It places the consciousness and associated mental factors on patibhaganimitta. And a sustained application of mind continuously sustains the consciousness and associated mental factors on patibhaganimitta. And the decision, it makes a decision, this is patibhaganimitta. And the effort to support the consciousness and associated mental factors to know the Patibhaga Nimitta. The joy, being joyful of Patibhaga Nimitta, or delight in Patibhaga Nimitta, or interest in Patibhaga Nimitta. Desire to concentrate on Patibhaga Nimitta. So these six are called six occasionals. And the next is beautiful mental factors, faith. Taking Patibhaga Nimitta as object with faith in attainment of jhana. You have faith. If I take this Patibhaga Nimitta, I will attain jhana. Okay. The mindfulness, it makes the concentration, it makes the consciousness and associated mental factors sink deeply into the Patibhaga Nimitta. Not forgetting Patibhaga Nimitta. And the shame and fear of wrongdoing, in the attainment of jhana, there's no desire to commit any wrong things. This wholesome attitude is called shame and fear of wrongdoing. And non-greed, no attachment to Patibhaga Nimitta as mind. When the mind is focusing on Patibhaga Nimitta. No grasping. You just concentrate. No grasping. Non-hatred, the nature of not being harsh or rough is clear when one sees Patibhaga Nimitta. And neutrality of mind balances the consciousness and associated mental factors so they can function together evenly, preventing any excess or deficiency. And tranquility of consciousness and mental body, it's not easy to understand. When your mind can concentrate on Patibhaga Nimitta, your mind is tranquil. Lightness, same. Lightness, meditability. When your mind can concentrate on the Patibhaga Nimitta, then your consciousness and mental factor become very light. And malleability of consciousness and mental body is a softness or pliancy of consciousness and associated mental factors in taking Patibhaga Nimitta as object. And workable or wieldiness of consciousness and mental body, this one is also easy to understand. Proficiency, your mind becomes skillful with Patibhaga Nimitta as object. And a rectitude of consciousness and of mental body, the uprightness of consciousness and associated mental factors when taking Patibhaga Nimitta as object. And the last one, wisdom faculty, penetrate into Patibhaga Nimitta as object. So this 33 mental factors plus one consciousness arise during first attainment of jhana. So if you can enter into jhana for 1 hour, so in the jhana stage, this 34 will arise in the jhana stage and continuously for 1 hour. It means that you have accumulated a lot of wholesome karmas. And jhana consciousness is called sublime consciousness, much higher than dana, sila. And the last one, all the 34 will arise at the JH. JH means jhana. So all the this 34 mental formation will arise at the jhana, this jhana stage. All this jhana are jhana. We also call jhana stage. So if you attend 1 hour, you will arise 1 hour. 2 hours, then it will sustain there for 2 hours. Next one. Okay, now let's say, after you have attained jhana, you proceed to vipassana. You discern impermanent, anicca, dukkha, and anatta of mind and body. Then you attend sotapan. The moment you attain sotapan, there are 37 mental factors. 37 mental formations in supramundane citta, in supramundane consciousness. So when you attain, when the path consciousness arises, sotapanna path consciousness arises, taking what object? Sotapanna path consciousness take what object? Dibbana. So sotapanna path consciousness arises taking dibbana as object at that moment. 37 mental formations are there. You can turn to page 140. How does 37 mental factors work together while taking Nibbana as object? So number one is consciousness. What type of consciousness? Is it consciousness rooted in greed? No. So what type of consciousness? Supramundane consciousness. We have 8 supramundane consciousness. This consciousness is sotapanna path consciousness. Then number two, contact. We can read together. Contact causes stream entry consciousness together with associated mental factors and Nibbana to impinge. Page 140. The feeling experiences the bliss of Nibbana. Perception makes a sign there is Nibbana. Volition urges the consciousness together with associated mental factors in acting upon Nibbana. One-pointedness fixes the consciousness together with associated mental factors into Nibbana. Life faculty sustains the vitality of consciousness together with associated mental factors. Attention directs the occasion consciousness together with associated mental factors towards Nibbana. Initial application of mind places the consciousness together with the associated mental state on Nibbana. Sustained application of mind continuously sustains the consciousness together with the associated mental factors on Nibbana. Decision makes a decision to its Nibbana. Effort to support the consciousness together with the associated mental factors and the effort to know Nibbana. Joy, satisfaction in Nibbana. Desire to attain to Nibbana. Faith, unshakable faith in Nibbana. Mindfulness makes the consciousness together with the associated mental factors sink into Nibbana, not forgetting Nibbana. Shame of wrongdoing and fear of wrongdoing. In the attainment of path knowledge, the desire to commit wrongdoing is eradicated. Therefore, at the time of attainment, the strength of moral shame and moral fear are already there. Non-greed, non-adherence to Nibbana as mind. Non-hatred, the agreeableness state of mind when sees Nibbana. Neutrality of mind balances the consciousness together with the associated mental factors so they can function together equally towards Nibbana. Tranquility of consciousness and tranquility of mental factors. Tranquility of consciousness and mental factors at the time of taking Nibbana as object. Lightness of consciousness and lightness of mental factors. Lightness and sickness of consciousness and mental factors at the time of taking Nibbana as object. Malleability of consciousness and malleability of mental factors. Pliancy of consciousness and mental factors at the time of taking Nibbana as object. Worthiness of consciousness and worthiness of mental factors. Adaptability of consciousness and mental factors at the time of taking Nibbana as object. Proficiency of consciousness and mental factors. The consciousness and mental factors become skillful at the time of taking Nibbana as object. Rectitude of consciousness and mental factors. Uprightness of consciousness and mental factors at the time of taking Nibbana as object. Right speech, right action, and right livelihood. These three arise together as the three morality factors of Noble Eightfold Path that eradicate wrong speech, actions, and livelihood. Previously, I said that these three arise separately. But that is in sense sphere consciousness. Now it's supramundane consciousness. So in supramundane consciousness, these three arise together as a factor of morality. They are Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path can be summarized into three. Morality, group, concentration, group, and wisdom, group. So these three in supramundane consciousness, they arise together as morality group. The next one, the last one, wisdom faculty. Penetrate Nibbana and remove the ignorance that covered Four Noble Truths. So once ignorance is removed, then the Four Noble Truths is penetrated. So the wisdom faculty penetrate into Four Noble Truths. That's why only Sotapanna can really understand Four Noble Truths. So long you have not yet achieved Sotapanna, we only understand Four Noble Truths theoretically, not practically. And this 37 arise at the past consciousness, PA. This one is past consciousness taking Nibbana as object. It's also called Jhavana. But now it's not seven Jhavana already. Seven Jhavana only occur at sense sphere consciousness. Now it's supramundane consciousness. This 37 occur at the only one mind moment, the past consciousness. And after past consciousness, PA, followed by SR, fruition consciousness. This fruition consciousness also has this same 37 mental formations. Among the 37, which one is self? Which one is I? Which one is he, she? Which one is I? Why no answer? No I. There's no I. So according to doer, if you say the doer of karma, who's the doer of karma? Who reaps the fruit of karma? If you say who, it means that it's a sort of a creation about a soul. If you say who. Venerable Buddha Gosa wrote in the Visuddhimagga, no doer is there who does the deed, nor is there one who feels the fruit. Constituent parts alone roll on. This indeed is right discernment. So why people develop this concept of I, my, myself? Why people develop that concept of I, my, myself? It's because we cannot break down the compactness of continuity of consciousness. The consciousness we have already studied. One consciousness arises, pass away, like here. Vibrating consciousness arises and pass away, followed by arresting consciousness arises and pass away, followed by mind door averting consciousness. So one consciousness arises and pass away, and another one arises and pass away. This is called continuity of compactness of continuity, or continuity of processes. But because our mind is clouded by the delusion, this is that we cannot penetrate into the compactness of continuity. We cannot see this one consciousness arises one after another. We think it's a group. Because we cannot penetrate, we cannot break down the compactness of continuity that we identify when you see something. Oh, I see. Because you cannot see consciousness one after another. So you think as a whole. So you say, oh, I see. Oh, I hear. Oh, I attend Sotapan. Everything is I. Because you cannot break down the compactness of continuity. This is one of the reasons why people develop this wrong concept of self. Another reason is that, as we say, that 37 mental formations, 37 mental formations arise at the attainment of Sotapanna, supramundane consciousness. Each mental factors, we have already studied, each mental factors perform its specific function. We have already studied that. Each mental factor performs its specific function in order to help consciousness in the act of connection, taking this Nibbana as object. And because we cannot break down the compactness of function which the mental factors perform, we cannot break down that compactness. So we see everything is as a group. So we see that it's I. We do not know actually it's mental factor of feeling experience the bliss of Nibbana. Because we cannot break down this compactness of function of mental factors of feeling which experience the bliss of Nibbana, we think that this I. Thus we develop the wrong concept of I. Is it clear to you? That's how we develop our self. Okay. So according to the dual of karma, the volition or will, cetana, itself is the doer. And the feeling is itself the reaper of the fruits, because feeling experiences the result. Apart from this pure mental state, there's none to sow and none to reap. So this is the end of my lecture. Any question? There are many questions talking about non-self. I think this person may want to withdraw his question.
I have one question written earlier. I'll just read it out for Kelly's answer. If there is no self, what do we base upon in terms of being compassionate to others and in the progress of our spiritual path? And who are we striving for in terms of attaining enlightenment? And by contemplating no self, I tend to be indifferent with regards to people and events around me. Is that wrong view?
I think you know the answer already. To say I, a person who is only conventional truth. So ultimate truth is what? Consciousness, mental factors, and rupa. Rupa we will discuss tomorrow. This is our ultimate truth. And this arises and passes away incessantly, non-stop. But because we cannot penetrate into the ultimate truth, we think as a self. Okay? And if you develop in this by constant non-self?
Yes. By contemplating non-self, I tend to be indifferent with regard to people and events around me. Is that wrong view?
It's not correct. You do not do it correctly. There's one compassion. Among all the mental factors, there's one compassion. That compassion, that mental factor of compassion should be developed towards all beings.
I have three more questions on one slip from the same person. In the quality process, is equanimity, does equanimity refer to neutral vedana rather than upaka?
Which cognitive process?
In the cognitive process.
There's so many cognitive processes.
Associated with equanimity.
We have different types of cognitive process.
I think maybe she meant, he meant consciousness associated with equanimity rather than with joy.
That equanimity is feeling.
Neutral vedana.
Neutral vedana. Asuka, masuka, vedana.
Then the second question, isn't stinginess rooted more in greed rather than in hatred?
Yes, I have explained to you. At the moment stinginess arises in you, it's rooted in anger, because it's a resistance to share with others, unable to bear. This feeling is what type of feeling? It's this pressure feeling. This pressure feeling. Intolerant to share what you have with others. Intolerant to share what you have with others. At that very moment, it's accompanied by this pressure feeling. And this pleasure feeling is necessarily rooted in hatred. But at other moment, it may be rooted in greed. Because of greed, then you become stingy. That's different moment. Different moment. It can be based on the greed. But at that moment, at that cognitive process, jhana, at that moment when stingy arises, that one is rooted in anger. But at different moment, it can be rooted in greed. Okay?
The question, is volition the same as sankhara, the mental formations as found in the five aspects?
Okay. Mental formation, sankhara aggregate, formation aggregate. As I have said yesterday, in formation aggregate, there are 52 mental factors. We have studied 52. So you take out feeling, then it's feeling aggregate. You take out perception aggregate. So the remaining 50. The remaining 50 are called formation aggregate. Among this 50, volition is the head. Volition is the head, but volition doesn't. Volition is not same as formation aggregate, but volition is a head among formation aggregate. Okay?
Two questions on one table, please. The first question, what is the connection between the jhana as found in the sutta, the four jhana, and the jhana, the five jhanas as found in the Abhidhamma?
Okay. In the sutta, Buddha only mentioned the fourth jhana. So first jhana in the sutta, first jhana, five jhana factors. Abhidhamma, first jhana, also five jhana factors. So same. But in the second jhana of sutta, only three jhana factors. There's joy, happiness, and one-pointedness. But in the Abhidhamma, second jhana got four. Application of mind, sustained application of mind, joy, happiness, and one-pointedness. And the third jhana of Abhidhamma has three jhana factors: joy, happiness, and one-pointedness. So the third jhana in Abhidhamma equal to second jhana in sutta.
Does feeling always arise after contact? That is it an automatic process?
As we have studied, all the mental factors must arise together. Must arise together. But according to the order of teaching, we say contact first. It doesn't mean contact must arise first, then feeling follow. No. How can I say seven together to you? I must have one order by order. So according to the order of teaching, we say contact first. But in the ultimate sense, all arise together. Contact, feeling, perception, non-greed, non-hate, all arise at the same time and pass away at the same time. There's no who arise first.
Okay, two questions will be related to one question. Earlier, just now you taught that at the first jhana there are one consciousness and 33 mental factors. What's the relationship between the saying of five jhana factors in the first jhana? Why happiness is not in the 33 mental factors, bliss or happiness?
Happiness is under feeling. We have three types of feeling: pleasurable feeling, unpleasurable feeling, and neutral feeling. So that happiness in the jhana factors is under the mental factor of feeling. Okay. I think another not yet.
The part was asking when we say first jhana has five jhana factors, but why we
have
34?
Okay. Among this 34, when attainment of jhana, in the attainment of jhana, there are 33. In the first jhana, there are 33 mental factors plus one consciousness. So we only have five jhana factors. At this time, this five jhana factors, initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, joy, happiness, and one-pointedness are very prominent, are outstanding. That's why we only mention five in the first jhana. But if you analyze, after you emerge from the first jhana, if you have concentration, you try to reflect what mental factors you have in the first jhana you just achieved just now, you will see this 34. But at the first jhana, because these five factors are very outstanding, very clear, that's why it was mentioned, only five. But actually, 33 plus one, consciousness. Okay?
Any other questions from the floor? Yes. The question is, how do we relate the seven factors of enlightenment in the parts about the mental factors during the point when attainment to enlightenment?
I think at that time, these seven factors of enlightenment are developed into very, deep degree, like effort, concentration. Concentration is one-pointedness. Effort is effort. But at that time, just like five jhana factors, they become very outstanding. So all these mental factors, it can be very weak and can be very strong. For example, one-pointedness in unwholesomeness, one-pointedness can be very weak, not obvious, not outstanding. But when you develop concentration, then this one-pointedness become concentration. So it becomes very strong and powerful. So each mental factor sometimes can be very weak, can be very strong. So the seven factors of enlightenment, I think that person have already developed the seven factors up to the degree of enlightenment.
In that case,
wisdom, that one is wisdom faculty. Yes, that one is wisdom faculty. Sorry.
The second seven factors, second of the seven factors, eventually Dhamma, Chaya Ramsa is
wisdom. So wisdom faculty.
Yes, for recording. Any other questions?
Okay, if no, we continue. Okay, one more.
Sorry. Earlier, my question about the same example of both enjoyment. Then I use both. Is it music? We listen to music, we enjoy it. Would that lead to habit formation too?
Of course. anything you enjoy is great.
No, but I thought you can enjoy this, but without craving for it.
If there's no craving, then we cannot say this. How you enjoy music without craving? How? That's why, so many Buddhas has already arrived and passed away. Because we feel boring, that's why we keep on accumulating karma, that's why we remain here. So many Buddhas, Buddha say, the appearance of Buddha compared with the sand near a beach. The appearance of Buddha more than that, and yet we still here, sitting here in a round of rebirth.
It's possible to enjoy without coming formation.
But one that we have not grasping
for it.
I think yes.
If it's possible, then you still hope. Actually, by the same rule, if a person achieves all these jhana states and becomes attached to the joy.
Okay.
It's a blockage,
it
becomes a hindrance. Yes.
Yes.
Just now you mentioned that contact has been all right. Now, but under dependent on deviation of...
Okay, good. This is the difference between Sutta and Abhidhamma. That's why Abhidhamma is higher teaching. Sutta is not precise. Abhidhamma is very precise. So if I teach dependent origination here, I also will tell you, actually contact and feeling arise together. But for the order of teaching, Buddha has to teach that way. That's mentioned in Abhidhamma. We have to teach that way in order to make audience clear. Okay. So this Abhidhamma is called distinguished from the sutta regarding the method of treatment. Okay. Last question.
Still don't quite understand your previous answer. I think in the sutta, they say that in order to stop this whole thing with 12 you attack it at the contact point, if I remember correctly. Is that true or?
No.
Because that's where, in the practical world, that's where you catch it and you stop the whole cycle. Then in the Abhidhamma side, where it's or
how can you stop at the contact point? You can't stop at the contact point. Because it arises, is it every they have arise, but you should not develop detachment on it. You should not develop craving. If you develop craving, then you are prolonging your cycle of rebirth. You can be mindful of the mental state, but you cannot stop at the contact point.
Do all the 52 mental states carry equal weight?
And let go of greed and hatred?
Anagami means let go of greed and hatred.
Carry the equal weight.
Yeah. Well, whether the 52 mental states carry equal weight, since the anagami has already eradicated hatred and greed, they may have feelings, but they don't have greed or hatred as a result.
Yes. They do not carry the equal weight. Only depend on certain. For example, when the greed, when you are enjoying your food, there are 19 mental factors. So at that time, what's prominent among the 19? No, among the 19, greed is prominent, and volition is also prominent. So among the 19, these two carry a greater weight. So it cannot be same. This way, the Buddha teach this way in order to let you understand easily, you know. But now we have studied Abhidhamma, actually it's not like that. All arise together, but each one perform their different function. And sometimes, for example, in the jhana, and when you attend jhana, which one is more prominent among 34? Which one carry heavier weight? Five jhana factors. So they cannot carry the equal weight. Huh? Okay. Okay, that's all. Tomorrow we continue matter. Okay. Sharing of merit. Okay. Let us share merit with all devas and all beings. We recite together. Ita vata shammehi sampadam punya sampadam sabe deva anumodantu sabha sampati siddhiya ita vata chammehi sampadam punya sampadam sabe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampadi siddhiya ita vata chammehi sampadam punya sampadam sabbe sada anumodantu sabba sampadi siddhiya sadu, sadu. tomorrow?